Murder's the easy part. Covering it up, not so much. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
I'm Tony Bruschi, and today we're stepping into a story where the ghosts of the past meet the chaos of the present. An intersection where murder conspiracies, revenge, and allegations of sexual violence collide. At the center of this twisted tale is Sean Diddy Combs, the music mogul who built an empire in the heart of hip-hop. But this time, it's not just platinum records and business ventures making headlines. Diddy is now facing some of the darkest allegations yet. Accusations that suggest revenge was the motive for an act of unthinkable violence. It starts with Ashley Parham, a woman whose encounter with Diddy began with a conversation she never expected would come back to haunt her. During an unplanned video call in a bar, she made a passing remark. She told a friend she believed Diddy had something to do with the 1996 murder of Tupac Shakur. A small comment in the grand scheme of things, or so it seemed, but what happened next was anything but small. According to Parham's lawsuit, Diddy heard that remark, and he allegedly made it known that she would pay for her words. And pay, she claims she did. What follows is a chilling story of manipulation, terror, and assault. Stay with us, because this is only the beginning of a case that feels straight out of a nightmare. The story begins in February 2018, a seemingly ordinary night in Orinda, California. Ashley Parham was at a bar, enjoying the evening, when she met a man who introduced himself as a friend of Sean Diddy Combs. Like many others hoping to impress, the man made a video call to Diddy, showing off his connection to the hip-hop mogul. But Parham didn't take the bait. Instead, she made a casual, offhand remark, a comment that would unravel into something far more sinister. She told the man that she wasn't interested in speaking with Diddy because, in her opinion, Diddy had something to do with the murder of Tupac Shakur. At that moment, things shifted. Diddy, allegedly overhearing the comment through the phone, responded with a chilling message. Parham would pay for what she had said. It was a moment that could have been dismissed as bravado, as nothing more than the kind of heat that flares in conversations involving old grudges, but according to Parham, this was no empty threat. A month later, in March 2018, Parham received a phone call from the same friend she had met that night at the bar. He invited her to his home, asking for her help with what he claimed were cancer medications. It seemed harmless enough, an act of kindness even, but what Parham didn't know was that she was walking into a trap. When she arrived at the house, Diddy was already there, waiting for her. What began as a simple favor quickly spiraled into a nightmare that would leave Parham scarred in more ways than one. In her lawsuit, Parham describes the scene with excruciating detail. Diddy allegedly approached her, holding a knife, and pressed the blade against the side of her face. He warned her that he could give her what's known as a Glasgow smile, a violent, disfiguring cut that leaves scars stretching from the corners of the mouth. It was a horrifying moment of intimidation, a way of making it clear that Diddy was in control. Parham wasn't just dealing with a man angry over a comment. She was facing someone who, according to her, wanted to exact revenge in the most personal way possible. Parham's lawsuit also alleges that Diddy's chief of staff, Christina Corum, was present during this confrontation. Parham claims that Corum urged Diddy not to follow through with the Glasgow smile, warning that such a mark could make Parham less appealing if they intended to sell her. It's a statement that adds another sickening layer to the story, one that hints at something even darker than revenge, the commodification of human suffering. With the knife threat behind her, but far from safety, Parham claims the assault escalated in ways she could never have imagined. Diddy allegedly doused her body with oil or some kind of lubricant, stripping away her clothes in the process. And then, in a moment that Parham describes as one of the most degrading acts she has ever experienced, Diddy is said to have raped her with a television remote control. He reportedly told her that her life was in his hands, that if he wanted, he could take her, and no one would ever find her again. This wasn't just about power, it was about complete domination, reducing a person to nothing more than an object of control and humiliation. But the ordeal didn't end there. According to Parham, Other men who were present that night joined in, subjecting her to repeated sexual assaults. It was a harrowing sequence of events, one that left Parham physically and emotionally paralyzed. As the hours stretched on, Parham alleges that she lost control of her body entirely, unable to move as the assault continued. And yet, even in the depths of her terror, she knew she needed to escape. Somehow, she found the strength to make a run for it. Parham's escape was a frantic dash for survival. She claims that Diddy tried to buy her silence, offering her money to say she was a sex worker and that the encounter had been consensual. But Parham refused the money and ran, seeking help from neighbors. It was then, she alleges, that gunshots were fired in her direction. A final warning, perhaps, from a man determined to silence her. The neighbors, hearing the commotion, had already called the police. But according to Parham, the nightmare didn't end with the arrival of law enforcement. When officers from the Contra Costa Sheriff's Department arrived, Parham says she reported that she had been gang-raped by Diddy and his associates. But to her disbelief, no further action was taken. Weeks later, in April 2018, Parham went to a different police department to file another report. This time, however, she chose not to name Diddy as her attacker. Fear, she says, gripped her. Fear that the system wouldn't protect her, and fear of what Diddy might do if he discovered she had named him in an official report. The trauma of that night continues to haunt Parham, but her lawsuit is now bringing these horrific details into the public eye. She's suing Diddy, along with several other individuals, for sexual assault, false imprisonment, and kidnapping. It's a case that adds to a growing list of lawsuits against Diddy, whose reputation has been further tarnished by recent allegations of sexual misconduct. Six new lawsuits were filed against him just days before Parham's, including accusations of abuse involving minors. As Diddy awaits trial on federal charges of sex trafficking and racketeering in New York, the weight of these new allegations looms large. His legal team insists that the accusations are part of a media-fueled campaign to ruin his career. They describe the lawsuits as a money grab, an attempt to exploit Diddy's fame for financial gain. In court, his lawyers say, the truth will prevail. But the legal battles ahead are anything but straightforward. Diddy's defense team has already filed motions to unmask his accusers, arguing that the anonymity of these plaintiffs makes it impossible to prepare a fair defense. They claim that the flood of allegations has created a media circus, one that threatens Diddy's right to a fair trial. Meanwhile, prosecutors argue that revealing the names of the accusers could expose them to harassment and intimidation, given Diddy's wealth and influence. As the trial date approaches, one thing is clear. This is not just a story about a celebrity scandal. It's a story about power, fear, and revenge. And it's a story about the long shadow cast by Tupac Shakur's unsolved murder, an event that even decades later continues to ripple through the lives of those connected to it. As the layers of this disturbing case unfold, Ashley Parham's lawsuit presents a chilling narrative of manipulation, revenge, and unchecked power. At its core lies an unresolved question. How far will someone go to maintain their reputation and silence those who threaten it? Parham's harrowing account connects her experience not just to Diddy's alleged actions that night, but also to the enduring conspiracy surrounding Tupac Shakur's murder. Whether Diddy sought to punish her for her comments about Tupac remains a matter for the courts to decide. But the timing of these allegations, set against the backdrop of Diddy's larger legal troubles, paints a portrait of a man seemingly caught in a web of scandal and long-buried grudges. The implications of Parham's claims extend far beyond a personal vendetta. They are intertwined with the broader narrative of power dynamics in the entertainment industry, where influence and control can serve as both a shield and a weapon. For Diddy, these new allegations represent just one piece of a growing legal storm. Already in federal custody, facing charges of racketeering and sex trafficking, the weight of Parham's lawsuit adds even more complexity to his defense. Parham's lawsuit raises disturbing questions about the extent to which those in power can manipulate both people and the systems meant to protect them. If her allegations are true, how does the system designed to uphold justice fail so spectacularly? Why were her initial reports to the police allegedly ignored? And why did it take so long for these claims to surface in the form of a civil lawsuit? The case forces us to confront the uncomfortable reality that power and influence can shape not just public perception, but also the outcome of legal proceedings. Parham's story is just one among many. Diddy now faces more than a dozen lawsuits, with six new cases filed in New York just days before Parham's. One of these lawsuits alleges that Diddy molested a 16-year-old boy at a party in his mansion, further eroding his public image. His legal team has dismissed the allegations as opportunistic, claiming that these lawsuits are part of a coordinated effort to extort him. They insist that the truth will emerge in court, where they argue Diddy will be vindicated. But the defense faces an uphill battle. Diddy's attorneys have filed a motion requesting that the names of his accusers be disclosed, arguing that it's impossible to prepare a defense when anonymous allegations keep piling up. Prosecutors, however, argue that revealing the identities of these plaintiffs could put them at risk, particularly given the gravity of the allegations. They also express concerns about witness intimidation, raising the specter of Diddy's wealth and influence being used to silence those who testify against him. As the legal proceedings inch closer to Diddy's May 2025 trial, the shadow of Tupac Shakur's unsolved murder continues to loom over everything. The timing of Parham's allegations connecting Diddy's alleged actions to her comments about Tupac adds an eerie dimension to the case. For years, rumors and speculation about Diddy's involvement in Tupac's death have circulated in the media. Now, with the upcoming trial of Dwayne Kefe D. Davis, who claims that Diddy ordered the hit on Tupac, the specter of the past threatens to collide with the present. Parham's allegations raise the stakes even higher. If Diddy's actions that night were indeed motivated by her comment about Tupac, it suggests a dangerous willingness to retaliate against anyone who questions him. It's a troubling notion that even decades after Tupac's death, the mere mention of his name in connection with Diddy could ignite a firestorm. And it leaves us to wonder if this was Diddy's response to a single remark, what else has been hidden beneath the surface? The outcome of these lawsuits, along with Diddy's federal trial, will determine much more than just his fate. They will shape the public's understanding of who Diddy really is. The man behind the music in the empire, is he a victim of opportunistic lawsuits, as his defense team claims? Or are these lawsuits finally exposing a pattern of abuse and misconduct that has been hidden in plain sight? For now, Diddy remains in custody at Brooklyn's Metropolitan Detention Center, awaiting trial. His lawyers argue that the conditions are horrific and have repeatedly requested his release on bail, only to be denied by the court. The judge has expressed concerns about the risk of witness intimidation, making it clear that Diddy's influence extends far beyond the walls of the detention center. As the trial date looms, both sides prepare for a legal battle that promises to be as explosive as it is complicated. For Ashley Parham, her lawsuit is a chance to be heard, to tell her story and seek justice for what she claims happened that night. But for Diddy, the stakes couldn't be higher. His career, reputation, and freedom all hang in the balance. And the question remains, will the truth emerge in court, or will it be lost in the chaos of conflicting narratives? What makes this case so unsettling is the connection it draws between past and present, between Tupac's unresolved murder and the allegations against Diddy today. It's a story that forces us to ask, how much of the truth do we really know? And if the past is still shaping the present, what other secrets are waiting to come to light? And so, the story of Sean Diddy Combs takes another dark and unexpected turn, pulling us deeper into a narrative where power, fear, and revenge intertwine with the lingering mysteries of the past. Ashley Parham's accusations paint a chilling picture, one where a moment of honesty about Tupac Shakur's murder leads to an unimaginable night of violence. Whether Parham's claims will hold up in court remains to be seen, but they expose an uncomfortable truth about how influence can be wielded behind closed doors. This case is about more than a single assault. It's about a legacy of unchecked power that stretches across decades. Diddy's rise to the top of the entertainment world came with as many shadows as it did spotlights. Now, with lawsuits mounting and a trial on the horizon, the question looms, is this a story of opportunistic accusers, as Diddy's defense claims? Or have we only scratched the surface of something much more disturbing? An empire built not just on talent, but on control? What happens next will be pivotal. If the truth emerges, it could finally unravel the long-buried questions surrounding Diddy and his involvement in a world of alleged violence, abuse, and revenge. But if the legal process becomes another spectacle lost in a media frenzy, we may be left wondering what other truths remain hidden in the dark. I'm Tony Bruschi. Press subscribe to stay with us as we follow every twist and turn in this case and all the other cases that deserve your attention. Thank you for listening.
Strap in and get ready to go back in time. Gen X Time Machine is here to transport you back to the glorious days of neon, big hair, and cassette tapes that always needed rewinding.
To figure out where Tupperware, went wrong, we kind of got to start at the beginning.
Remember when MTV actually played music videos? Or when lunch wasn't complete without Dunkaroos? Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit like trying to recapture the magic of a bygone era.
Yeah. We're diving into all that and more. So if you want to relive the 80s and 90s in all their retro glory, hit up Gen X Time Machine wherever you get your podcasts.
VHS is looking like the obvious winner, right?
Oh, and don't forget the rise of the video rental store, remember?
Subscribe, because who doesn't need another excuse to avoid adulting? You're welcome, the Gen X Time Machine.